Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Plays Already in Progress.
All right, thank you, DJ Q. We are back for the second segment of the Jay's Plays show, and we're back with Holly Bowling. Holly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jay.
Excellent. So good to have you here. All right, so before we get back into talking a little bit more about sports, tell us a little bit about where everybody can order your album.
So the album, is, as well as the Tahoe Tweezer on vinyl, is available from Royal Potato Family, which is an awesome independent label in Brooklyn. And they've got copies online, so you can go to Royal Potato Family and pick one up.
Is it available in any other format besides vinyl?
The Tahoe Tweezer is on the album, which is on CD as well, and you can also download it through iTunes or order it from Amazon. So we've got all our bases covered.
Excellent. And where else can people listen to your music?
The album's up on Spotify, so you can stream it if that's your thing. And, of course, if you really want to hear it in the best format possible, come to the Cutting Room in a couple of days, and I'll see you there.
Yes, definitely. And besides the Cutting Room, how can people who like what they hear go out and see shows? What, you know, what's your website and where they can they follow along with all your tour dates?
You can check out hollybowling.com, and I'll have all my tour dates up there. I'll be on Jam Cruise, which I'm really excited about, and I'll have some other dates coming up soon. Not quite announced yet, but definitely planning to make the rounds in 2016. I've also been posting a bunch of live performances on archive.org for any live music fans. You probably already know about the site, but it's a fantastic treasure trove of live recordings from all kinds of artists. So that's another place to check out.
Yeah, and by the way, everybody listening out there, you can also get releases from me, from the various clients of mine that have allowed me to put up some of the live shows that I've recorded, and they are the Jay's Plays series. That's easy to remember. All you do is go to archive.org and type in Jay's Plays. So plenty of great music to listen to there, definitely. That is one of the ideas of the Grateful Dead, and an excellent one. They were the impetus behind archive.org. It's amazing to see how the taping world has exploded, you know, from the days back when I started, where I was walking in, you know, with my D5 or my SPM D430. They used to give me the mic stand because I was the fastest. Right? You know, they'd open the doors. Oh, absolutely. Okay, no, but they didn't. It's fitting that I would be a runner now, a long-distance runner now, because we would line up an MSG, and I'd have the mic stand, and the minute the doors would open, you know, I would just, I mean, you think any of those guys had a chance of catching me? No, they didn't at all. Okay, I'd be sitting there, you know, I had enough time for, you know, a sandwich and a cup of coffee by the time the second guy got there, you know, to set up his mic stand, so.
So is that how you got into running? It was all the training for years and years of getting to this perfect sweet spot for taping? That's really what launched your running career?
No, the running career was a bit of an accident. I was a soccer player for many years, and a golfer too, but actually, you know, people don't know this actually. Well, my friends that have seen me play golf might guess this, because my golf game of late hasn't been very good because I got a torn rotator cuff. But I was a soccer player in college and even after college, and I even played in Italy for Campo di Fiori for a while. I was their goalie, and then I got sick and tired of getting smacked in the testicles with a soccer ball. Okay, let me tell you something. It fucking hurts, okay? It really does. Okay, you get tired. There's 6 or 4 guys trying to buzz you as the ball's coming in from one side. They're coming at you from the other. You know, and so finally I looked at the rest of my teammates and I was like, you know, come on, you guys got to teach me how to play out in the field. And so graciously they did. And I remember coming to a head one game when it was a total friendly, okay, you know, it didn't matter for anything other than, oh yeah, here's the guys from Italy playing, the guys from Germany, let's just go have a good time. Well, there was this weird play where every player on the pitch was way over on the right-hand side, and I was out by the edge of my box, and so I said, the heck with it. So I just started running bolt steam down the field to try and score a goal. And behind me, I hear all the rest of my teammates, no, no, Giovanni. They call me Giovanni because who the hell knows what a J is in Italy? They don't know what a J is. My friend says, whoever heard of an Italian named J? But, you know, so they're going, Pazzo Americano, and he's crazy America. So, but I got hurt playing soccer back in 97, and you know, I had to give it up for a while, and just to stay sane and to stay healthy, and also to get an hour with my tunes, you know, I would go out running, but I joined a running team this year, and that was all the difference. And so that's why I've been running all of my half marathons. And every time I travel, like when I come down to New York, you know, I will be going on a 7-mile run with the running team that I used to run with from New York. And yes, we are opening with a big, fat, buried alive.
Yeah, you crush it on the running playlist. I've seen those up there.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Okay, coming from somebody whose musical taste is as good as yours, I do try to crush it on the running list without question. So,
a good run is all about having the right soundtrack. That's where the motivation comes from.
A good life is having the right soundtrack. You know, that's the other beautiful thing about my job. You know, is that and I have to say, you know, the other lawyers that do the straight law as opposed to the entertainment law or the IP law, they love coming in my office for two reasons. There's always good music playing. And because I've got Fenway Park, a huge double mural, each one 3 feet by 2 feet, of Fenway Park decked out for the Foo Fighters show. On the left is 55,000 people at sunset. Okay, Fenway bathed in a gorgeous golden hue, you know, at sunset, long shadows, and everyone transfixed. And then the other one, of course, David Grohl on that crazy wheelchair of his out on the edge of the stage, you know, with all the lights flashing. You can see the green monster, too. So they do love to come into my office and listen to the tunes and chill out a bit. So, yeah, there's going to be some running. You know, what else will you do besides the three shows and your own show while you're in New York? Will you stick around for a few days? Do you have any restaurant recommendations when you're in town, or anything fun that you want everybody else to do while they're in for the shows?
I'm accepting restaurant reservations. This is not my hometown, though, so I can't give any, but I'm excited to just walk around the city. I like to walk around and explore. I'm planning to go catch one of the biscuit shows after Fish and just try to eat as much pizza as possible while I'm here. I think that's the two missions.
Okay, if you want pizza, you got to go downtown a little ways down into Soho to a place called Girello, best wood-fired pizza in town.
Noted.
Yes. And the other one is after your show ends, I have some friends in every town, and I'm still friends with a girl who used to skate in the Ice Capades. And so she and I are going to go get Moroccan food on 9th and 44th at Marseille before we go to the show.
Ooh, Moroccan food. That sounds incredible.
It really is. The merguez is out of this world. The mint tea is fantastic. You know, and you put harissa, which is that hot, spicy condiment on everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they really do it upright. Well, maybe there's something for you to think about sometime. Maybe you can get out to Morocco and play either in the Atlas Mountains or out in the sand dunes or something. Get a jam. Well, it wouldn't be a jam cruise. I guess it would be a jam camel track out into the.
Yeah, let me know when you got that gig on the line for me. Just give me a call.
Hey, you know what? Okay, if the Grateful Dead can play the Pyramids of Giza, you can play Morocco. Okay. Exactly. We'll just set you up in the bazaar in, like, Fez or in, I'm drawing a blank on the Great Bazaar Town. Oh, gee, come on. A cup of black coffee and I can remember the name of the city. Well, anyway, let's talk just very quickly. One of the most iconic things about you, and it's been memorialized in those very cool Holly Bowling pins, and I recommend everybody get one while you're going to the show because they're super cool. It even features you wearing that San Francisco Giants baseball cap. And, you know, those of you that are friends on Facebook see pictures of you at the ballpark, you know, smiling a big smile and cheering Go Giants. So tell us a little bit about your love for your baseball club.
Well, first I got to say, those pins are great because my friend Ryan Kerrigan, he's a fantastic artist, made those as a surprise for me. And he's not even a Giants fan. He's an A's fan, which really makes that pin all the more touching. He gave me the Giants shout-out, even though, you know, we've got our cross-bay, not really rivalry, but the A's don't have a whole lot of love for the Giants. So that meant a lot to receive those pins in the mail from him. That was quite the classy move, I got to say.
They're super cool, too. He really did a nice job with them. There's a whole piano with a ton of keys. There's a big smiling fish. And, you know, there you are wearing Giants colors and the Giants cap on your head.
Yeah, he knew exactly how to do that. That's sort of my uniform, especially the last few fall tours. Fish keeps doing their fall tours on the years the Giants make the postseason. And it definitely creates a conflict of interest. We were at the Santa Barbara shows, which were very early shows because it's an outdoor venue in a residential area, and You know, I'm trying to watch fish. I hate being distracted when my favorite band's on stage, but at the same time, I'm staring at my phone, watching the games go high. Like, you could see the pain looks on other Giants fan faces who were, you know, facing the same conflicts there. So,
well, you know, Fish did play in San Francisco the year before when the Giants won the World Series, and they actually gave them a shout out during mid-song.
And that was my favorite moment. Giants moment ever. I love Fish. I've seen them almost 300 times, and I've never missed an opener ever, except for that day. I was out in front of the venue. I'm in Civic Center Plaza. I want to go into the show, but I'm sitting there watching, well, not sitting, I'm pacing, watching the game on the big screen, and Bumgarner's throwing those final outs, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going into Bill Graham right now. I just can't do it. And when we won, it was just, it's a moment anyways, but to see everyone hugging each other and celebrating, and then this just mass running parade of happy, happy Fish fans and Giants fans running into the venue, just absolutely elated. And then the energy in Bill Graham was just through the roof, you know. It was crazy. I don't think there's ever been a Fish show in the town where that town's team is winning the World Series. I think that was a first, and it was madness.
The closest that I've come was I was in Ann Arbor for the Dead Show tonight after Michigan won the NCAA basketball championship in 89. But Michigan didn't play in Ann Arbor the night before. They had won the tournament. I forget where they were, in Salt Lake City or wherever it was. But
I'm sure
there
the energy
was still,
in there was still just awesome.
It was, okay, and 89 was a great time to catch the Dead, too, okay? They were playing great. Jerry was clean again for the most part. They were more interested in playing more interesting songs, you know, and Jerry's tone and sound were both fantastic. You know, from that new guitar that he had, that beautiful gold one, to the white chinos that he finally busted out so that he didn't look like ass while he was on stage. So one thing about Garcia that I could change, okay, you know, it's like he owned two T-shirts, red and blue, or red and black, I forget which, okay? You know, it's like, and he even said it himself. He's like, yeah, you know, when the drugs got bad, I got very lazy. It was like either write a song or feed the cat, and I only was like, all right, I'll feed the cat, and I wouldn't write a new song. Jerry, what are you doing? You're a musician, damn it. You know, we all love cats, but, you know, the cat can wait.
You had one job.
Yeah, right, exactly. You had one job. So, but he did kind of do that job very well. So that was fun. And then I will tell you my San Francisco story, okay, and this one sadly does not have a happy ending. I was out covering the U.S. Open at Olympic Club in San Francisco, having a lovely time. I can't wait to go back. When I see you, I'll be able to tell you, you know, the stories that I can't tell you about the San Francisco trip, you know, over the airwaves. Yeah, but boy, are they fascinating. Let me tell you something, okay? You can imagine. But I was out on my run, okay? What happened was I had covered the tournament for the day, and then there was supposed to be a big party at Art Stander's house. Art is a 50-year veteran of the sports scene. He's covered everything from Wimbledon to the Super Bowl and everything in between. And he threw a big party, so most of the journalists were there, but yours truly being the woman on the totem pole at the time, I had to write. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for my run, and then I'm going to go and do my writing. So I'm out running, and I'm running past the ballpark. And as I'm running past the ballpark, my phone goes off, and it's my editor-in-chief. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, well, I'm just taking a job before I go and, you know, write the article tonight. And it's cool, I'm driving past the ballpark. He says, oh, well, I'm in the ballpark. Oh, really? Well, there's a guy standing right next to me with $5 tickets. Do you want me to get one and come in? He goes, any other time I would. But I'm meeting with this guy who's going to buy our whole magazine, you know, so I have to talk to, you know, with him. I'm sure you understand. I'm like, yeah, I understand. What inning is it, by the way? Oh, it's only the second inning, no score. So I finish up my room. Well, 3 hours later, my phone goes off again, and it's my editor-in-chief. Jay, I just want to apologize. I can't tell you how sorry I am. I never should have talked you out of coming into the arena. It's the first perfect game in San Francisco Giants history.
No.
And I made you miss it.
No.
Oh. Yeah, that was
a... of this. every time you see the guy, because that is unforgivable.
Well, most of the time I would tend to agree with you, okay? Yes, happily, the nice thing about being a sports journalist is we may be underpaid, but we are overprivileged. And so I have seen some things that have made up for that. Being there the day that Tiger Woods shot a 63, being there the day there was a miracle, being there the day that Phil Mickelson fell out of the sky and blew the U.S. Open. We do get it, going to the Masters and seeing Augusta National and all its glory. We do make up for it. But I did get a small measure of revenge. On Sunday, all of us were standing around, my boss included, and we were looking at the leaderboard, and everybody threw $10 into a pile and got to pick one player. Well, as I'm looking at the board with the other guys standing there, I looked up and I saw the player that I thought was going to win, and it was an obscure one who was four shots back. I said, I'm going to pick Webb Simpson. And I remember everybody saying, well, that gets rid of Jay. There's no chance he's going to win. Well, sure enough, everybody, because this is what happens at Olympic Club. The wrong guy always wins. It's like Trey walking out with, a list that says Fluffhead, Colonel Forbin's Ascent, and Harpoor on it, and then playing Moment Dance. Sure enough, Webb goes and wins, and Sal's standing there looking at me, and I couldn't resist. It was my way of getting back. I took the money, and I said, in the immortal words of Hunter S. Thompson, let the chumps. Most everybody laughed and cheered. The couple of guys that were like, I can't believe Flemma beat me again. There were a few people that weren't happy. But yes, you're right. I wasn't happy that I missed out. Sal, I can't believe you did that to me. I missed out the only no-hitter in San Francisco Giants history. All I get out of it is a story. But nevertheless, so what do you think about the Giants' prospects for next year?
This is the part where I'm going to make you shut off the recorder. Remember the bit where I was like, I've been a terrible fan the last 6 months and completely checked out. I was home 5 days the entire month of December, so I've basically been completely checked out of news, politics, sports, everything I usually follow. All I know is I've been getting text messages from my buddy who's an A's fan telling me, if you sign another one of these guys, we're no longer friends.
Anyway, Holly, it was so great to have you on the show. Break a leg all this week. Have a fantastic gig on the 1st, and I will see you tomorrow in MSG.
Absolutely. I'll see you there, Jay.
Everybody, we're going to be back in just a minute. Gary Van Sickle's going to wrap up the year in sports with us. You are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. We'll be right back.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back in the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.